The next case for argument is United States against Davis. Mr. Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Phil Kavanaugh. I'm an assistant federal public defender from East St. Louis. I represented Mr. Davis through all aspects of this proceeding. It is the appellant's contention in this matter, Your Honors, that he was seized for Fourth Amendment purposes when he wandered into a police raid at 2 o'clock in the morning. The record is pretty clear that he was driving on his way home and was at a stationary stop sign committing no crime when literally all hell broke loose right in front of him. He was faced with a van that was full of officers dressed in tactical clothing, a police officer with a dog, another police officer, different uniforms, U.S. Marshals on the scene. I think there were approximately 40 law enforcement personnel involved in this enforcement action. And at that point in time, based upon all those circumstances, he was seized. Then we have to deal with Officer Whitaker's conduct. Whitaker testified that my client, the only thing he was doing was rubbernecking. That was the articulable suspicion on which he based his further approach and interrogation.
But why do you need any suspicion to approach somebody? Why can't an officer always walk up to a stopped car and say, "Are you willing to talk to me?" And of course, at that point, smell the alcohol on his breath and the jig is up.
If that would have been the sole circumstances faced by my client, that might be true, Your Honor. But he had literally, there's this tableau of police action taking place in front of him. He wants to go home. He doesn't know what to do. Now, Whitaker is not entirely responsible for this, but nevertheless, the Fourth Amendment's clear. Reasonable people are entitled to make decisions based upon...
The district court found as a fact that he could have driven away before the officer walked up to him. Very difficult to see how that finding is clear error. So we're in a position where, given the district court's findings of fact, your client has stopped voluntarily and is approached by an officer who is at perfect liberty to walk up to anybody.
Your Honor, he didn't articulate a suspicion for doing it.
You don't have to have any suspicion.
I suggest to the court that you do.
Well, the Supreme Court and this court have held otherwise. You know, recently en banc in United States against Childs, we held otherwise. The Supreme Court held otherwise just last year, just last June, in an opinion by Justice Breyer, saying you can walk up to anybody on a bus, no problem, no need for suspicion. Now, if your position really depends on our rejecting the Supreme Court's jurisprudence, we got a little trouble here. We're not the Ninth Circuit.
I realize that, Your Honor, but the difference is that he's in his personal automobile. He's not doing anything but obeying the traffic laws of the municipality and the state of Illinois.
So what do you think about the bus case from last year? The people who are sitting on the bus aren't doing anything unlawful. They're just sitting there.
But I believe
the Supreme Court holds that you can always walk up, officer can always walk up to them and start talking.
But I believe there's a different expectation of privacy when you're in your own personal automobile rather than on a commercial carriage device like a train or a plane. Your Honor, when I leave here today, I'm going to go to the airport, and I don't have any expectation of privacy what's going to happen to me there. They're going to look any place they want and as often as they want to do, and I understand that and I appreciate that. But when I go home tonight and I'm picking up one of my kids from soccer practice and driving them home, I expect the police to leave me alone unless I'm doing something wrong. And that is Davis's position in this case. He wasn't doing anything wrong. If the police had been there with a legitimate caretaking role, they should have got him out of there rather than gone over and interrogated him to try to find something to get on him. That's the nature of his situation. I admit it's fact-driven. It's probably limited to the facts of this case, as most of these Fourth Amendment cases are. But nevertheless, I distinguish this on that basis, that regardless of what Whitaker did, Davis was seized for all practical purposes when he drove up and found himself surrounded by the police. And this court has said in U.S. versus Juarez, the same circumstances can develop, a show of authority can develop, and that can constitute a seizure. regardless of the subjective intention of the police, and that's what we're relying on.
Do you think he was pulled over? Was he pulled over?
No, ma'am. He was stopped at a stationary stop sign when the police all descended on this place.
Was he commanded to stop?
We introduced evidence from the passenger that was with Mr. Davis that one of the officers ran by and said, shut off the car. I admit the district court rejected that evidence.
Right. Was his path blocked?
For some part of the time it was. That was the nature of what was going on, Your Honor. The van pulled up right in front of him and disgorged the officers running in all directions. There were police cars blocking the street for traffic and crowd control purposes. During the initial phases of this activity, his path was definitely blocked. There were literally police running all over the place right in front of him. You know, admittedly, it got to the point when the situation calmed down that he could have driven away, but by that time, Whitaker had initiated the totally, without suspicion, approach to the vehicle. So we're basing our argument on that.
It sounds like you're basing your argument on the proposition that the district court's findings of fact are clearly erroneous, because the line of argument you just made is one that was made to and rejected by the district court.
That's true, Your Honor.
But why are the findings clearly erroneous?
Because I don't think the district judge, took into consideration the fluidity of the circumstances and the point of view of the citizen, innocent of any crime, what he or she would think at that point in time. The district court adopted findings of fact that are more consistent with the police point of view than the citizen's
exactly.
point of view.
We had a conflict in the testimony, and that's why we have district judges. And the Supreme Court has said it is not clear error to accept one of two positions offered on the facts.
I know that, Your Honor. I'll just say whatever time I have for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Porter.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'll be particularly brief in light of the court's questions. My name is Jim Porter, and I'm an assistant United States attorney from the Southern District of Illinois, of course representing the plaintiff appellee, the United States of America. I think this court has essentially made my argument for me. This court has said before that because questions implicating the Fourth Amendment are primarily factual ones, Court of Appeals give particular deference to the district court that had the opportunity to hear the testimony and observe the demeanor of the witnesses. That is exactly what happened here. Judge Reagan heard the testimony, he weighed the testimony, and in a very well-written and well-thought-out memorandum and order, set forth the facts that he found and then his legal conclusions based upon those facts. For those reasons, Your Honor, the United States would request this honorable court to affirm the decision of the district court and affirm the sentence of Mr. Davis in this case. And if you have no further questions, thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Kavanaugh?
No, Your Honor, I think that's pretty much got the record.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help. The case is taken under advisement.